Thanks so much, team. What a great way to start the new year, leading us there beautifully. Really excited for this new year, the year of good vision, 2020. All right, okay. That was a, thank you. Only gets better from here on. Actually, that's a good dad's joke because, you know a good dad joke when they find it on Facebook and use it. So that's what that was. So anyway, 2020, here we are entering into a new year. And, it's good. For so many people, it's an important time where they kind of draw a line under the last year. Maybe 2019 wasn't so great for you. Maybe it was great for you. Either way, it's into a fresh new season. I do like New Year's where people set themselves new targets, new goals, set new dreams. I'm a dreamer, so I always love it when people share, this year they want to travel more or do something, whatever it may be, as long as it's healthy and good. It's great to dream. But it's also a great time to kind of get ourselves grounded for this year, to get ourselves set, especially before God. And as we start a new, as Jen said, a new sermon series this year, we're kind of entering into focusing on the parables of Jesus for these few months at least, where we really just are going to be able to just meditate and just focus on even some weeks. It's only going to be a few verses, really going to be a short passage that we can really focus on that week. And I really believe God just speaks to us individually and collectively. And so I really encourage you to journey with us this year as we focus through the parables each week. The reading plan is at the back, and you can journey with us. But this first one, I think it's a pretty cool one to beginning with. As we see here, the first parable of the year is where Jesus talks about bearing good fruit. And I thought, what a great one to start a new year by saying this year we want to bear corporately, but individually as well, to be a year where we bear good fruit. And it's something that Jesus is really passionate about. He speaks about it often through Scripture, using this imagery of a tree where one will have good, ripened fruit to enjoy, and others have bad, rotten fruit, and there are some trees that have no fruit. What Jesus uses to give us a picture, a story that he's going to try and tell. And so I'm going to share with us three of those passages, all very similar, but to really try and drive home what Jesus is trying to say here into the different audiences. Sometimes he's speaking to his disciples, sometimes he's speaking to the teachers of the law, and you could tell who he's speaking to by his language that he uses. And we'll have a look at that. So, the clicker works. The first one, Luke 6, 43 to 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. You'll have to Google what that is. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus also says in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. That's a mouth twister. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by the fruit, you will recognize them. And finally, Matthew 12, he says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Here Jesus is using these three separate times, this parable, this imagery of a tree bearing good or bad or no fruit as an indication of this is evidence of your life. I mean, he's real passionate about this, so much so, he gets pretty angry when talking with the Pharisees, with the teachers of the law, these people that he's seen as being hypocritical, who are good with their words, really good with their words, some of them high academics, good teachers, but what Jesus was seeing was them being hypocrites, saying one thing and doing the other. I mean, he gets really fired up about this, so much so that he calls them brood of vipers. I mean, if you break that down, I mean, a brood of something is like a child of. You know, if we went on a little ski trip this year, we're trying to learn cross-country skiing, so we got the kids some skis, and we got some skis, and, you know, it would be like me and Jen saying, "Come on, brood, we're going skiing, you know, come on, kids, we're going skiing." So the brood is a child of, and a viper, a snake, is a pretty low animal. I mean, if you think about it, and I'm not condemning this at all, but if you were to call somebody, well, a son of a female dog, right, you'd be like, "Whoa." But if you think about it, a child of a snake, I mean, although our dog threw up on our carpet, so the dog in our eye is pretty lower than a snake, but often a snake is lower than a dog. Jesus is really getting to them. Jesus is really upset with them. He's saying, "You got to listen to this. This is serious stuff. You guys are talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. You will be judged not by those nice fancy words that you're saying, but you will be judged by those actions and also those words that you're saying off guard. That's what you'll be judged on." I mean, if we look at this parable, and we are to compare it to basically any other aspect of life, you can use it. I mean, it's all well and good when you see a bride and groom standing in front of each other, all lovey-dovey, promising the world to each other, promising that they will love each other through thick and thin, through health, through bad times, through good times, be faithful to one another. And it's beautiful. But I think it's almost more beautiful when you've seen a couple celebrate 50 years of marriage, when they still have that twinkle in their eye and that love, that they're still living out that faithful promise. Or whether you've got that student who finishes with the top grades at high school or university, and everyone's like, "Oh, there's going to be big things from you." But ultimately, the fruit will be judged on what they do with that. There comes hard work. There comes perseverance. There comes working with others. Or that politician who promises and promises and promises, and then ultimately they're not going to be judged on what they promised in a campaign. They'll be judged on the fruit, whether it be good, bad, or no fruit after 4 years or, well, 2 years. Or in sport, real football in the UK, my team, Arsenal, just hired a new head coach. And he's deemed to be the new best thing. He's the youngest coach in the league. He looks good. He talks good to the cameras. But he's not going to be judged on looking good and talking good to a camera. He's going to be judged by the results of the game, by the good fruit or the bad fruit. But here Jesus, he's not talking about politics or business or even church or anything like that. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the fact that you and I will be judged. When we say that we believe in something, he's saying, actually, we can tell. We can see. If you truly grasp the goodness of God, if you truly grasp how good your Heavenly Father is, we will tell. We will see by the fruit that you bear, by the life that you live. He said, it is evident. He's saying that to the Pharisees to say, hey, I can see through you. I can see through your talk. I can see that you have not really accepted this in your heart. And that's a lesson for all of us there. But he's also saying it as a warning. He says, you could tell a wolf in a sheep's clothing by their actions, by the fruit that they bear. I don't know about you, but sometimes you can spend time with someone at first, you think it's all good, they introduce themselves really good, but maybe the more you spend time with them, you go, oh, not everything seems the way they're portraying. Or we've had people come to our door and try and tell us about maybe a different religion. And even using the Bible to try and tell us about this different religion. And then as soon as you try and talk back to them, they'll either cut you down or they'll get mean. Or I actually asked one of them what their testimony was. I said, you're telling me something new in the Bible. How has this transformed your life? And they couldn't. And they kind of got pretty angry pretty quickly. And it wasn't long before I saw the fruit. It wasn't looking good. But this is so important to Jesus and actually to God, because throughout Scripture, he gives us more of an insight of what this fruit looks like. And not just what the fruit looks like that Jesus is talking about, but how we grow good fruit. And so we jump now to Paul's letters. And in Galatians, Paul gives us a brilliant picture. I've been with my parents because I'm saying brilliant again. Awesome. He gives us a great picture here of what the good fruit and the bad fruit look like. And here is what he says. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So this is the bad fruit that Jesus talks about. He says, it looks like this. It's sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he continues, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we're honest and we look at those two lists, and we have a time of self-reflection, do we see ourselves and we look at our own tree, the fruit that we bear, that we experience? The tree isn't just for others to see. It's what you experience as well. Do we see more of the first list or the second list? I mean, the reality is growing fruit is a lifelong thing. This isn't done just in the first few years of life. This is, as long as the tree lives, it's bearing fruit. And so, as long as we are breathing, our desire and journey is to grow in maturity, in spiritual maturity, in deepening and ripening those fruit. But if I'm honest, as I look in my own life, and I look in my own tree, I guess, and I go, sure, I like to think that, or I experience certainly more of a joy in my life and more of a peace, and I hope people experience and see some love from me. But as I also look at my tree, I look at some areas and go, you know, Johnny, there's definitely some pruning still to be done. There's definitely some of these fruit that you could really do with dropping off. Some areas here that I go, you know, Johnny, that you can really go a bit deeper in this. This first list, it gives us an indication of ultimately where our heart is at, of what we're being consumed by. And maybe one or two of those were really jumping out at you, whether it be jealousy or selfish desires. You know, we come to this new year and we write our desires for the year, and I wonder how much of those are selfish. As long as I am happy, as long as I am successful, it's going to be a good 2020. And we look at this and we go, okay, but how do I grow this fruit? I see this fruit in my life. I see some of this good stuff, but I also see some of the weight of the other stuff. And maybe you see that in others too. And you go, I'm still, my tree in life is still being consumed by the flesh. What do I do about that? Is it purely down to us to persevere and to cut off those branches? Well, there's an element, because Scripture talks about self-control. That's one of the good fruits. Scripture talks about persevering. Paul himself tells us to flee from evil desires. So there is effort. I think sometimes we have this mindset of, well, if God didn't want me to do this or watch this or participate in this, he would just take me from it and I'd just sit here. But actually, God gives us a strength and a motivation. He gives us perseverance. When an athlete is having to persevere, it's because they're finding it hard. It's not because they're finding it easy going. They're finding it hard, so they have to keep on pressing into it. So there is an element of when we know what is wrong in our lives, when we see some of that fruit, when we read some of that stuff and go, yep, I take part in that. There is an absolute element to go, okay, God, you are God. Well, we looked at Hebrews 10 a few weeks ago, you know, where Scripture tells us that if we continue to sin knowingly, that there is no more sacrifice for us. It's not a good thing to be put into the hands of the living God, Scripture says. So it's like, gotta take this seriously. Gotta take this God who created all things seriously. But is it all down to just us persevering? Because surely we'll stumble. Surely we will. Well, thankfully, it's not. The big picture isn't down to us. You see, Jesus said these words in John 15. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The answer for 2020, the answer for today, the answer for always is simple. It's remain in Jesus. And I know that sounds really simple, and the reality is, to a certain degree, it is. But the thing is, we're the ones who make it more complicated. We're the ones who easily can get distracted. Jesus saying, stay attached to the vine. I am good. I will give you the good feeding. I will give you the good watering. I will grow you, but you got to stick in me. And here's the thing. There are so many temptations. There are so many distractions, and there will be coming into this year. That's why it's so important that we pray into the new year like we're desiring to do next week. That's why it's so important that we stay rooted into him, because there are so many distractions that will come our way in so many different forms, whether it be a wolf in sheep clothing that you need to have your eyes open to see their fruit, whether it be something big and obvious like somebody coming in to separate you and your wife, or the love of money, or something like that. Or maybe the distraction and temptation that may come in our way is actually a little bit more basic. Maybe this year, it may not be the healthiest year. I pray it is and hope it is, but maybe it's not. But I don't know about you, but sometimes when we get sick, that's often a time when we can potentially take our eyes off Jesus. The anxiety, the anger, maybe the jealousy of looking at others, going, why was me, can turn into be a potential way that we get distracted from the vine. Maybe this year isn't the most financially successful year. Again, that can bring and lead to anxieties, to worries, to frustrations, to maybe looking at other sources of pleasure. And it may not be the most obvious things that come in, but it may be just subtly. But Jesus is saying, despite it all, despite whatever the troubles that this world throws, remain in me. And I promise I will remain in you. And that means being intentional about being in prayer. That means intentional about being fed. A tree needs feeding, fed by his word. By encouraged by your brothers and sisters. By going out into the world and putting into practice and into life what he's teaching us. There's so many ways, and as a church, we can support you in that. But the goal and the desire for 2020 is simple. Is making it about Jesus. Maybe not our goal shouldn't be, how can I do this? How can I be that? Maybe our goal this year is, Jesus, how do I just make this year about you? Through it all, despite it all, no matter where you lead me, no matter where we go, Jesus, we want to give it to you. I want to just remain in you. As the band come up, we just want to have a moment of reflection, a moment of just steadying ourselves before we sing this last song. Maybe as that list in Galatians 5 was read out, maybe there were some things that still stuck in, and Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, this year is the year that you need to drop that fruit, that you cut that branch. You need to rely on me to be your source of life. Maybe it's simply just, God, I want to remain in you, so therefore I need to make time to be in you this year. Let's just spend a moment before we sing this final song and just allowing the Holy Spirit just to speak into our hearts. Maybe he's saying something totally different. Holy God, we thank you that you are the gardener. You're the source of life, light. That, Father, you keep it simple for us, that you call us just to attach ourselves to you. And Lord, we're sorry for the times that we easily get distracted. We make it about ourselves. We try and find light and life and other things from other sources that produce not the fruit that you want us to produce. And so we just surrender to you once again, just to come into your presence. And we just want to give you this year, our days, this day, our life. You call us to be a witness. You call us to share your good news. But if we're not bearing good fruit, then all it's doing is damage. It's being hypocritical. And so, God, I pray that you teach us, you humble us, to first pursue you in all aspects of life. So that when we do share of your truth and goodness, that people are seeing the fruit to go alongside it. Because they go together. But that starts with us first submitting to you. So Jesus, we just give you our lives and ask that you feed us. feed us, Father God.